From Kana Radio, this is Caribbean Tempo.
Searching for 640 AM News Radio
5.7 FM. Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory in the Americas.
It's the Wake Up Show.
Yeah, what up? This is Sonya Blade. Yo,
this is Moscow.
You're tuned to Call Israel, the voice of Israel, broadcasting.
中国国际广播电台.
China Radio International.
Hello and welcome to the program that leapfrogs global boundaries and celebrates diversity in all its rainbow colors. This week we search out those who turn the airwaves pink with lesbian and gay radio. Across the world, homosexuality remains deeply controversial, illegal in many countries, punishable by death in others, and against the teachings of most major religions. Despite this, we found that not all gay radio is simply strident and campaigning. Much of it's humorous, inspirational, and a lifeline to listeners confused by their sexuality. First, we go north to Sweden to a taste of Rita Charn and her wonderfully titled programme, Leaping Lesbians. It's broadcast weekly on Stockholm Community Radio. And just in case you're in any doubt of what a lesbian actually is, Rita will clear away the cobwebs for you.
Here come the lesbians, here come the leaping lesbians.
This is Rita Chan, together with my technician Anders. You've come to the right place, to Leaping Lesbians. 88 FM on Stockholm's local radio station. Leaping Lesbians, a program of Stockholm Gay Radio, is sent to you by the Swedish Federation for Gay and Lesbian Rights, RFSL. A lesbian is a woman who loves a woman and finds her identity in her womanliness. A lesbian is a woman who with pride knows and shows her own strength and makes her own definition of herself. A lesbian is a woman who consciously or unconsciously has chosen not to accept the boundaries that society has put on women. She has created her own life that enables her to live her life as a whole person. To create, to laugh, to live with all of yourself, to leap high to reach your goals. Here on Leaping Lesbians, you will find inspiration.
She certainly makes it sound tempting. Leaping Lesbians is made by volunteers at Stockholm Gay Radio. Now let's leap to the great plains of Midwest America. We in the West are often obsessed with defining people, and especially on matters of sexuality. But in many Native American cultures, there's been a long tradition of accepting nuances in gender. Lesbian and gay Native Americans have adopted the term two-spirit rather than gay. In this evocative documentary for Outright Radio, Daniel Crocker explores attitudes to gays among Native Americans living on reservations.
Western culture tends to divide gender into X's and O's. There are two opposite sexes, and you're either one or the other. Native American conceptions of gender, on the other hand, tend to be very fluid. Masculine and feminine are not at two ends of a line, they're on a circle, with an infinite number of points between the two. Being a two-spirit, of course, means something different for everyone. Betty is a 40-something Navajo lesbian who has lived on the reservation her entire life, except for the 4 years she spent away at college. She lives in Shiprock, on the New Mexico side of the reservation. To get there from Sage's home, you drive southwest, plunging out of the mountains of southern Colorado. Crossing the San Juan River, you enter the high desert, sandstone red rock country of Navajo land.
I know the history and the teachings. Each Navajo person, within themselves, there is a duality. My left side is male. My right side is female. So when I shake another Navajo, I reach out with my female side, and they reach out with their female side. There's always that duality within each Navajo being. And it just so happens that, for me, I feel that both of them are strong.
Among the Navajo, two spirits are called Natle, literally the changing ones. In one of their creation stories, the men and the women settled on opposite sides of a river. The Natle in both camps took over the roles of the opposite sex to ensure that all tasks needed to survive were done, and they also mediated to bring the two sexes back together. so they've always had a special place in Navajo society.
Carrie grew up on the southern edge of the reservation, on the Arizona side. Her ancestral homeland is translated to mean the area where marsh cattails come out in rows. Here the vast open spaces give way to jumbles of ponderosa pine and pinyon trees and tall rocky mesas. Five artesian springs on the land give birth to a marshy stream. When Carrie came home, she renovated a family hogan, the Navajo ceremonial chamber, into a house. I spoke to Carrie next to the stream on a cold, windy evening. Unlike Betty, she's openly gay and was warmly received by the community when she returned home.
The traditional people, medicine men and people, they're very accepting of gay people. And in our oral traditions, we have a big history of nakle, is what we call two-spirit or to change. It's a good sign to have gay children in the family. It's a sign of wealth, not necessarily financial wealth, but cultural wealth. So I have about six openly gay relatives in my community, and they're accepted.
The documentary Out on the Res was produced by Outright Radio, which broadcasts across the US through Public Radio International. Without doubt, the great hurdle is coming out, but once taken, it can end years of confusion and self-deception. The Canadian station CKDU broadcasts from Dalhousie University in Halifax. They had a Think Pink Day and ran a touching personal account by a student, Scott Hicks. He wrote it like a self-help guide and called it How to Become a Homosexual.
First, try to be something, anything else. A straight guy football player. A straight guy rock and roll star. A straight guy priest. A raging womanizer. The most homophobic person you know. Fail miserably. Or better, succeed in some marginal, shallow way. But then catch yourself looking sidelong at some guy in the locker room, staring at him half-dressed. He'll catch you staring and give you a disapproving look that will say, "What the hell are you doing?" Look away. Scold yourself severely. Start chanting. Say to yourself, while changing for gym class, "I will not look at men. I will not look at men. I will not." One day in grade 9, when you're at home watching video hits, a video will come on by Michael Jackson. Your stepfather will say, "That guy is such a faggot. I'm not watching this shit." Stupidly, you will argue with him. "How do you know?" you'll say. "You don't know. He could be straight, you know." "What are you talking about?" your stepfather will say, adding, "Why do you care?" And later, when you're driving with your mom in the car, your mom, who is practical, who overheard this conversation, she'll say, "You know, Joseph, if you're gay, that's okay. That's all right with me. I'd have a problem with you being Catholic, but I don't mind if you're gay." Lose it. Start yelling at her. Say, "How could you say that, Mom? I'm not gay. I don't like guys." She'll say, in a consoling voice, "But if you ever thought you were, I'd be okay with that." Say vehemently, "Well, I'm not. I'm not, all right." And that will end that conversation.
Well, that conversation may have ended, but Scott's journey didn't. He tries to suppress his gay leanings all through school, but when he gets to college, his whole life changes. He falls in love and decides to hide no more.
Over the next few months, you'll come out of the closet like nobody's business. Everyone on campus will know you are gay, and you won't care at all, because truly, you've never felt better. You've never felt so free and alive. At Christmas, you'll tell your mom. Say, "Mom, I have something to tell you." "What?" she'll say. "Are you gay?" "Yeah, I'm gay." "Well, I'm glad you finally decided. It took you long enough." Then she'll go and tell all the relatives. Her only comment afterwards will be, "They weren't even all that surprised." From here on in, many things can happen. Perhaps you move to a city where you're in the mecca of gay life, trying to get by. Perhaps you find yourself in a leather bar somewhere in Montreal, being wooed by a cute boy with pale skin and pretty light blue eyes. Perhaps you'll find the whole gay life there trite and irritating and miss this place where you first came out. You will think that since you've come out of the closet, things should get easier, but they will not. In some formal way, they will, but in some other way that's more difficult to explain or define, they stay kind of the same. Coming out's a lifelong process, and still hurts some days. You'll break up with David. You'll have several other boyfriends. You will learn the hard way how to fight for yourself.
At least Scott had a sympathetic family, rare enough in the West, but even more so in cultures where taboos run deep. In parts of Africa, particularly in Ghana, being gay isn't just a matter of teenage angst. There's a huge social stigma. And when Joy FM in Accra held a live discussion and phone-in on the subject, they were inundated by calls. In the studio was Dr. Kenneth Tafer, a sociologist who had done a study on what he called the phenomenon of homosexuality. He described being gay as a product of single-sex boarding schools. But for one angry caller, this explanation was too academic and not critical enough of gay lifestyles. Dr. Tafer gave a passionate response.
I'm talking about a study I did which points unequivocally to the presence of homosexuality in this country. I am trying to say that in one sense, this is the result of the context, the environment in which some people find themselves at a certain stage of their development or growth. Now, if that is academic, maybe the language is academic, but the fact is that we have a boarding school system in this country, there are regimented environments, I have explained what that means, and certain conduct occur there that, you know, are problematic. On the international scene, I am also saying that, now, in as much as this conduct is culturally inappropriate, in as much as this conduct is something to be repudiated in our cultural context, the reality is that around the world, the studies that have been conducted indicate that for some strange reason, some strange inexplicable reason, a certain proportion of the population, between 10 and 12%, is homosexual or has homosexual inclinations. That has got nothing to do with whether Kenneth Tafer likes it or not. I am a full-blooded heterosexual, married of children. I have never had any homosexual inclinations. I do not believe that homosexuality is something to promote. But I am also saying that people who are homosexual need to be protected. In much the same way that you, I imagine that you, the caller, you are a black person. There was a time when the fact of your blackness alone would have been enough to get you killed, to get you denied a job, to get you lynched or whatever. I am saying that we have people we call albinos, people who were born with some kind of mental or physical disability. And even in this culture, in this country, some people go to certain localities, some people who are born with disabilities are killed simply because of their disability. I am making an analogy, a comparison, and saying that we need to protect those who are different. That is the essence of human rights law. It does not mean that you support it. It does not mean that you promote it. But it means that you protect people who are different from yourselves. And that's not too academic, I think.
Dr. Tafer trod a dangerous line between supporting gays while not wanting to be accused of being one. The usually laid-back presenter on Joy FM's Super Morning Show was quick to come in with this rather cautionary reminder.
Ken, when you consider those circumstances and you look at our situation where it's culturally abhorred and considered inappropriate by all religious standards that we have in Ghana, on our criminal code it's also an offense, and I think most Ghanaians, the majority of Ghanaians, find it distasteful, inappropriate,
yes,
sickening,
yes.
To be putting it mildly. Shouldn't we be taking steps to do what is appropriate for us, for Ghanaians?
Yes, we should. It always should be what is appropriate for us as Ghanaians.
Joy FM in Accra, daring at least to broach the subject. Often putting a world in your ear together is a bit like pulling teeth, trying to get busy producers to send us their good material. But for this edition, we were deluged with lesbian and gay radio programmes from far-flung corners of the globe. For many of these stations, the jingles are the best bit, outflanking in raunchiness even Kylie Minogue. Here's a taste.
In the Pink's the programme bringing you news, views and stories about all those Natalie's, Clora's and Wendy's. So come mince and gale with us, no Sheila, every Thursday between 8 and 9 right here on Bush Radio 89.5 FM.
You are listening to 88.1 KDHX Community Radio, and this is Outspoken, 1 hour of talk radio celebrating and exploring the lives of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as a community.
Malayay Radio.
Ett program från RFSL.
Strong, proud, out and loud. Lesbian Radio. A breath of queer air.
And welcome again to yet another edition of 4ZZZ's Dykes and Mikes. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Deb.
Back in the driver's seat again, sweetie.
Well, sweetie, I certainly am back in the driver's seat with a world in your ear, always strong and proud, out and loud on Radio 4. And right now I'm steering us in the direction of the Far East, to Hong Kong no less, where the internet radio site gaystation.com has one of the best jingles of them all.
Queer and here. Queer and here.
Gay Station.
Oh, wow.
Gay Station. Queer and here.
网上大机构,夜夜11,大波,得得得得得波. Gay Station.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, indeed. Since January 2000, gaystation.com has been Hong Kong's first and only gay website and webcast. Although homosexuality isn't illegal, it still remains a deeply sensitive subject. Brian Leung is the founder of gaystation.com, and I asked him what it was like to be gay in modern-day Hong Kong.
Hong Kong has been a modernized and westernized kind of city. So compared to mainland China and some other Chinese-speaking communities, actually it's relatively more liberal. But it's still something that you don't speak very openly. So having a gay radio and having a gay channel is really a place and a new platform for people to speak about their lives, to talk about it, and to educate people who knows nothing about homosexuality.
And what sort of stories are you hearing about when people contact your web?
We will interview different people about their coming out stories, and people are very fascinated by these kind of stories because they can, you know, listen to them and try to sympathize with how they come out to their families, come out to their job, and come out to themselves. I mean, to most people who have been in the closet for quite a while, it's like finally they have their own community, they have their own voice, they are not alone in the world. It's very uplifting for a lot of people.
Is there something that your station deals with a lot because it's dealing with the Chinese community?
You know, in the West, people are already talking about adoption, same-sex marriage. But you know, in Hong Kong and even in Chinese society, we are about 5 to 10 years behind of the whole gay movement in the West. Take Hong Kong as an example. Right now, you know, homosexuality is not even a legalized act. It's only decriminalized about 12 to 13 years ago. So there hasn't been any progress in terms of our legal rights, this and that, because people just don't talk about it. I mean, even the government in Hong Kong, they just uphold a don't ask, don't tell kind of, you know, policy towards gay people. It's like, we can tolerate you gay people, but don't talk about it that much and don't promote homosexuality.
Traditionally, in the Chinese community, whether in China, Hong Kong or elsewhere, how has homosexuality been viewed inside the family?
It's a taboo. Even parents are aware of that, you know, their sons are gay or this and that. They just don't talk about it. They don't have the vocabulary, the education, the background, and even the mentality to discuss it openly. But I'm really sure that a lot of parents know that, you know, their sons or daughters may be gay and lesbians. But it's not really that open topic to be discussed, which is a sad thing.
So do your parents not know that you're gay and that you've set up this web broadcasting?
To me, coming out is quite a long process for me. It's not that easy for me. Actually, my sisters, my other siblings, they know I'm gay because they're actually younger, they are more understandable in this kind of issue. But my parents, you know, they don't talk about it. But the strange thing is, now and then I appear on TV or radio station, but every time I go back to my family and, you know, they never talk about it. You know how Chinese parents deal with this issue? Just ignore it. And that's their tactic.
So do they just sit and talk about the weather? Brian Leung from Hong Kong's groundbreaking gaystation.com. Asian parents clearly have a hard time accepting their sons are gay. Recently, the award-winning programme This Way Out in LA profiled the Kenyan Asian author Galib Shiraz Dalla. Dalla read from his book Ode to Lata, the story of an Indian man who repressed his sexuality while growing up in Kenya, but who eventually finds a home in gay West Hollywood. Here he reads from a passage where the hero reveals all to his mother for the first time.
I could not give her any of this. I knew that nothing I could do or say at that moment could prepare her for when she returned to Kenya, loaded with the knowledge of what she had only suspected but now had been confirmed, that her son, her only child, was a homosexual. The world would always be there in places where I could not be, in community functions, dinner parties, family weddings. She would have to face them alone, armed only with the hope that perhaps her son had found a way to educe some happiness from a lifestyle punctuated by loneliness. She would have to accept the reality of the situation, that she was powerless against what she saw as this demon that had possessed her only child, the apple of her eye, wormed, rotting from some vile infection. Everything she had lived and worked for in the past 48 years was standing before her, flawed. I would not hold her. I would not console her. I had to be firm. She had to realize that her manipulations could not rescind anything. My coming out to her would not distance us, but, much to my own revelation, just might bridge us. I am doing this, Mother, so that we can return to that place where we can talk again, where, having cast hybrid expectations aside, we can go back to being real with each other.
Coming out at 48, that must have made it even more of a shock for his mother. This Way Out is aired every week on over 500 stations around the world. Not all lesbian and gay coverage, of course, focuses on painful experiences. Another station called Joy, but this time Joy Melbourne, is Australia's first dedicated to what it calls the GLBT. No, not a kind of sandwich, but the gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender community. Dating is a potential minefield, and here a lesbian describes those agonising moments that follow a successful first date.
Then I had the dilemma as to when is it, I'd said I'd call. So how long is the appropriate amount? When she left, it was Thursday afternoon. I thought, no, I can't call Thursday night because that's like 2 hours later. And it's a first date, you've got to be a bit cool, a bit butch. And then Friday night, I was out. So I didn't call. And I thought, oh, well, I'll call on Saturday morning, but I won't call too early because that would seem, you know, too keen. I'll call about 10 o'clock. So I made it to about 9:30 and I rang and she wasn't home. And so I rang her mobile. I said, oh, hi, you know. She said, oh, hi. And I said, oh, are you driving? Thinking, oh, she's going to run into a tree. I said, oh, look, should I call you back? You know, when you, where are you? She said, I'm outside your house. And so I put down the phone and there she was. And it's sort of been on ever since.
Another story for everybody on Joy Melbourne.
It brings tears to my eyes. Many gays are attracted to the entertainment industry, but there's one area that's been hostile to them, the hip-hop music world. Homophobia is rampant there. Famous rappers from Snoop Doggy Dogg to Ice Cube have made their contempt for gays clear in often violent lyrics. But could this be about to change?
Youth Radio.
Even if someone you love appears to be fine, it doesn't hurt to initiate a heart-to-heart talk.
I love my sister, and I'm supportive of her right to have any sexual preference, but I was still ashamed to be seen in a car bearing a gay flag.
Our generation will be remembered forever as Generation 9/11. A title that will headline my freshman year in high school forever.
Youth Radio.
Bringing you community programming and always telling it like it is.
Youth Radio is a broadcast training scheme that reflects the interests of 11 to 24-year-olds. Young people join and learn to make radio programs which are carried on many stations around the US, including National Public Radio. Latifa Mohammed is one trainee who did a feature on an underground hip-hop trend called Homo Hop. Here she is talking to the gay rapper Tim M. West.
Homo Hop is hip hop, but in the beginning stages when you're trying to forge in the sort of political way, like what music can become, you need to sort of define it in a way that sort of gives it its own flair. And so like Homo Hop is really this broad category of people who are doing hip hop who are out of the closet. Men, women, b-boys, b-girls, graffiti artists, the whole gamut. With holy spirits, 411 Banji boy MCs endear it, society fear it, and never ever want to get near it, gay lyric. Most people who hear it go like, oh, it's good. Well, did you expect that it would be good because we're gay?
The hip-hop community in general has not embraced gay artists.
Wes didn't come out until college, and even then, it wasn't by choice. A classmate spotted him going to a gay student meeting and confronted him in front of his hip-hop crew. His friends were pretty cool about it, but it wasn't until 1999 that Wes started his own group of like-minded gay hip-hop artists. He called it DDC, or Deep Dick Collective.
We're all pretty well read. We're lyricists and poets, so if you listen to a lot of our material, it's not mundane. We hit the political hardcore issues.
But West isn't just into politics. He likes incorporating sexual wordplay into his music. But growing up as a preacher's son, it wasn't so easy for him to express himself, let alone have fun doing it.
As I say, philosophical mind boggle laced with a little bit of good times and damn. I'm ambidex, unapologetic about the terse verse. A lot of straight people still want to live in the delusion that like hip hop is a straight space and gay people can't enter. It's like, can't say that. You know, we already been there. Like, you know, putting on a show behind the turntables on the mic, which is why it's important for hip hop heads who are gay and lesbian to be more out. Because right now, the way it's talked about, it's like, oh, you know, hip-hop is being invaded by homosexuals. And what were you thinking before? Like, we were voguing, and we just never picked up hip-hop.
Tim M. West, who's helped to beat out prejudice from the hip-hop world. Lesbian and gay radio is certainly a thriving niche market, doing what radio does best, bringing a community together and campaigning to fight the stereotypes. Next week, we'll hear even more about people's emotional and sex lives when we dial up the world's agony aunts. But I'll leave you now with the infectious jollity of those leaping lesbians. Goodbye.
We're gonna please you, tease you, hypnotize and tightly squeeze you. We're gonna get you if we can.